of the great psalms in the Hebrew Psalter is Psalm 15. It deals with God's guest. That is, who can enter into God's presence? And those that are able to enter into His presence are defined in this great, great psalm. What I'd like to do, there's basically 11 principles that are set forth that concern our relationship with one another. It begins, Mizmor le David. Mizmor, a song or a psalm belonging to David. Mizmor is just a noun. The lamed is a preposition to, and of course the proper name, David. And this could well be what we call a lamed actoras, a lamed of authorship. It begins, Adonai mi yagur be'aholecha. Who shall dwell in your tabernacle or tent? Mi yishkon behar kodshecha. And who shall dwell in your holy mountain? Notice the question begins, or before we begin the question, the address is to Hashem, or to the Lord, Adonai. And then we have the question, the interrogative pronoun, who, me, yagur, shall dwell. Notice yagur is from the root gur, to dwell. It's a cal imperfect, third masculine singular from that root. So who will sojourn or dwell be'aholecha, in your tent? The be' here is a preposition in, and ohalecha is the noun meaning tent, ahol. And notice the ha is the second masculine singular pronominal suffix. And we're looking at entering in to the Lord's presence. And the word he uses here is the tabernacle or tent of meeting that we see in the Hebrew scriptures. It's symbolic, I believe, simply of God's presence. So who will dwell in your tent? And then it's repeated in what we call a synonymous parallelism, Mi yishkon behar kodshecha. And who will dwell, yishkon, notice again the interrogative me pronoun, followed by yishkon. Yishkon is from the root shachan, to dwell, and notice the yod prefix gives it away simply as a third person, and this is a cal imperfect third person singular from shachan, to dwell. It's like shamar, he kept, yishmor, he will keep. So who will dwell, behar kodshecha, in the mountain of your holiness? Notice be is the preposition in, and har is the noun meaning mountain, and it's in construct with kodshecha. Kodshecha is from the noun kodesh, meaning holy. And notice the ha is a pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So who will dwell in the mountain of your holiness? Hence your holy mountain. Looking at Jerusalem historically, where God's presence was, but it could basically be symbolic of dwelling in God's presence, symbolized by the holy mountain in Jerusalem, where the temple was located. So who will dwell in the presence of the Lord? This is the question from verse 1. And this is a question we all need to ask. How do we become God's guests in His house? What does He want us to be like? The text goes on then to describe that in verse 2. Holeg tamim ufo el tzedek. The one who walks uprightly. Notice holeg is from the root halak, and it's got an O tzedri vowel pattern, so it is a kal participle, masculine singular, from the root halak. So the one who walks, and to walk means to conduct one's life. So the one who walks, tamim, uprightly, in an upright or perfect manner, perfect before the Lord. The same expression is used in Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, where God tells Abraham to walk before me and be tamim, be upright. And so the one who is an upright person by nature, here we have an adjective describing the nature of the one that can go into God's presence. We need to live our lives in an upright, perfect way, not perfection, but perfect in sense of seeking to do God's will in our lives and in our relationship with one another. Ufo el tzedek, and the one who does righteousness. Notice u is just your conjunction and, followed by, again, the kal active participle with the O-class vowel and the tseri in the vowel pattern from the root pa'al, to do. So the one who does or practices tzedek. Tzedek is righteousness, and it's looking at the kind of lifestyle that one is to live. One seeks to do what is right before the Lord and before one another. So the one who does that will be welcomed into God's house. Vedover emet bilvavo, who speaks truth in his heart. Again, we have the conjunction in the ve. Dover is just your kal active participle again with your o vowel, your holam, and your tzeri. Masculine singular, the one who speaks truth, emet, the one who is a truthful person. And emet is just a noun meaning truth. And bilvavo, notice that word, or you have the, first of all, in that expression, you have the preposition beit, in, followed by the noun levav, meaning heart, or mind, and then O is just your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So the one who speaks truth in his heart or in his mind. Sincerity is necessary, not one that speaks one thing to one person and then speaks something else to another, but one that is true in what we say, what one is saying. So we need to be true in our speech to enter into the Lord's presence. And then he goes on in verse 3, Lo ragal al leshono. He does not slander with his tongue or upon his tongue. Notice the root, ragal means to slander. It is a simple Cal perfect, third masculine singular. And so one does not tell something that denounces another person wrongly. One is honest in one's dealing, and one does not tell something falsely about another person. Slander is a horrible thing. And it is interesting, the Jewish commentary comments that the Talmud says, I and he cannot dwell together in the world if one slanders. It's as though he is denying the very existence of God. And so we need, because God is truth, And one of the things that we need to constantly keep in mind is to always speak truthfully about someone and never tell a slanderous teaching or word about another person. The New Testament reiterates that over and over, the power of our speech to edify or to destroy. And then, lo asa lere'ehu ra'a, he does not do evil to his neighbor. Notice lo is just your negative particle, not, and asa again is just your cal perfect third masculine singular from the root asa. And so he does not do lere'ehu. Le is that inseparable preposition to, and rea is the noun meaning neighbor, or one who is close to us. And so one does not do ra'a, an evil thing. Notice ra'a is the adjective meaning evil. So one does not do evil or an evil thing to his neighbor. We are reminded of the great commandments. You shall love the Lord, ba'ahavta et Adonai v'chol lebavcha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol me'odecha. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. But then, the second commandment is like unto the first, and Jesus applies that to keeping the 613 commandments of the Torah when he says, "Va'ahavta, you shall love et re'echa kamocha, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And this is found in Leviticus 19:18. And so the great commandment is that we are not to do evil unto our neighbor, but actually we are to care for our neighbor. We are to love and do good rather than evil to everyone. And then he continues, "Becherpa lo nasa al kerovo," nor does he take up a reproach against his neighbor or the one who is near to him. Notice that is just your conjunction, and charpa is the noun that means reproach, a reproach. The negative particle is then followed in the lo, and nasa means to lift up against someone or to take up a reproach against someone. And nasa is just your cal perfect third masculine singular from the root nasa, and al is your preposition here meaning against, and kerovo is the noun meaning neighbor. Notice the noun is karov, which means neighbor, and o is your pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So one does not lift up a reproach against his neighbor. One does not attack his neighbor with words. We're to be nonviolent. We're to be non-resistant toward our neighbor. And we're not to return evil for evil or an evil word against someone, even if someone has said an evil word against us. And I believe that is the characteristic of, again, loving our neighbor as we would love ourselves. And then he continues in the next characteristic in verse 4. Nevzeh be'enav nim'as ve'et yirei Adonai yechabed. Notice in verse 4, in his eyes, a vile person is despised. Now notice, in be or nivzeh is the cow is the nifal perfect third masculine singular from the root baza, to despise. And so to be despised, it's a passive use here of the nifal. The nun gives it away, the nun prefix, that we're looking at a nifal passive use here. So a vowel person, a nim'as, one who is vile, is despised in his eyes. Notice be is the preposition in, and ayin is the noun for eye. A nav is the noun in the plural construct with the pronominal suffix seen in the vav, third masculine singular pronominal suffix. So one who is vile, and nim'as is looking at a person who has a defect, morally defective character, that one does not elevate this person or lift this person up, but if anything, pities him, despises his actions. And he goes on to say, "Ve'et yere Adonai yechabed." He says, "But he honors them that fear the Lord." And notice the ve is just your conjunction, and notice yere is from the adjective to fear. The fears of the Lord, we could say, or the ones who would fear the Lord. Notice Yire is in construct with Adonai, and it's from the root Yare, to be afraid. So the fearers of the Lord, Yechabed, he will honor. Notice Yechabed is from the root Kavad, to honor. And it is a PL, third masculine singular, imperfect, from that root, kavad. Notice the PL is indicated by the shava pathak, vowel pattern in the imperfect of the PL stem. And the bait is doubled, showing that we're looking at a PL stem. So what we're seeing here is that the person that is going to dwell in God's presence does not elevate a person that is vile in character, but he honors the ones who really fear the Lord. And who honor the Lord, they are worthy of honor. And then he does not nishba lehare velo yamir. He swears to his own hurt, and he does not change. Notice the word nishba is the verb shava, to swear, and it is a nifal, third masculine singular, from that root shava. So he swears, or he takes an oath to his own hurt. Notice leharea is from the root to hurt. It's from the root ra'a, and this is a hifil infinitive construct from this double ayin root ra'a, that is to be evil or bad. So he swears to his own evil. In other words, he's willing to keep his oath. Even if it hurts him, he's going to be faithful. The idea is his word is something you can trust in. It used to be that people would shake hands when they made a deal, and their word was as good as gold, so to speak. And so this is the characteristic of this godly person. So he swears, and even if it means that what he's taking an oath in might bring harm to himself, he does not change. He's faithful to carry out that oath that he made. Velo yamir, and he does not change. And notice ve is just your conjunction, and yamir is from the root mor, meaning to change. Actually, it's a middle weak root, and it's the hifil, imperfect, third masculine singular, from the root mur. So he does not cause to change or change that oath that he made, but he's faithful to carry it out. Furthermore, kaspo lo natan beneshek. He does not put out or give his money on interest. Notice kaspo is from the noun kesef, meaning money, and here it's in construct with the pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, in the O. So his money, lo natan, he does not give. Notice the lo again is just your negative particle, meaning he never gives, and natan is just your cal perfect third masculine singular. He does not give his money beneshek, with interest. Neshek is the noun meaning interest or usury, where one seeks to lend in order to make money. One of the teachings of the Hebrew scripture is that one is to lend money to needy, to a needy Israelite, without trying to make money from that person. We find this, for example, in Deuteronomy 33, 20 and following, and also in Leviticus 25, 36 and following. So basically, the truth here is that one is willing to help a poor person in need without trying to make it more difficult and charge interest to make money off of the person that has a need, but to meet the need, to loan the money to meet the need. And then finally, one other thing, v'shochad al naki lo lakach. Nor, notice the vav here is and, we could possibly render this nor, shachad, or shochad is from the noun meaning a bribe. A shochad is a bribe. And a bribe, al naki, against an innocent one, one that is innocent or free from guilt. Naki, we could translate an innocent one. Adjective, again, one does not take a bribe against an innocent man or an innocent one. And lo again is the negative particle, never. And lakach is just your cal perfect third masculine singular from the root lakach. So one never takes a bribe against another, especially against anyone, but against an innocent person. One of the most important things about a healthy society is that bribery is condemned and is seen to be wrong and that which should be rejected. And so the godly person that goes to God's presence and dwells in His presence must be one who does not take a bribe against someone who is innocent, and as a result, cause justice to be corrupted. This could especially be applied to a judge taking a bribe against an innocent person and then condemning the innocent one. So bribery here is condemned. And so the psalmist concludes, Ose ele lo yemot le'olam. The one who does these things shall not be moved forever. Notice Ose is just your cal active participle with your O class vowel and your tsere, masculine singular. So the one who does these things, ele is just, again, your demonstrative pronoun. It's the object of ose. The one who does these things shall never, lo yemot, shall never be moved. And namot is from the root mot, to move. And notice it's the nifal imperfect, third masculine singular, from the root mot. Historically, it might have read something like yin mal mount, and A-W with a middle weak vav, and that A-W becomes a long O. And so yin mount becomes yimot. Yamout becomes yamot. And notice the I, or the yod, is showing that it's the third masculine singular prefix, and the dogish in the mem is a dogish forte, because the nun of the nifal has gone into the mem, causing a doubling. So yin mot becomes yimot. And so the one who does these things shall not be moved. And after that, nifal, le'olam, forever. Never be moved. Notice the lamed is just to, and olam means to the age. Meaning, hence, it becomes idiomatic of meaning forever. Has an adverbial use here. The one who does these things shall not be moved forever. Hence, never moved. So as we look at these qualities of the godly person who wants to dwell in the Lord's presence, he is one who walks in an upright, perfect manner in the sense of obeying the Lord. He is one who does righteously. He is one who speaks truth in his heart. He's not speaking one thing speaking one thing and then speaking something else to someone else, but what he speaks is absolute truth. He is not a person who slanders with his tongue. He does not tell falsity against another, nor does he do evil to his neighbor. He does not take up a false charge or a reproach against his neighbor, and a person of vile character is despised in his eyes, but those who are willing to fear the Lord, he honors. He swears, even if it means what he's taken an oath to might hurt him, he's still going to keep his word. His word will not be unkept, is the idea. He will not change. And furthermore, his money, he does not lend out in order to make more money off of a poor person, but he's willing to give and help a person without the idea of trying to make a profit from a person's needy situation. Nor does he take a bribe against an innocent person. He is unwilling to follow bribery and to make an unjust decision against one that's innocent by virtue of a bribe. The one who's willing to do these 11 principles shall abide forever. Over and over in the New Testament, we have an emphasis on many of these great truths. that Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, talks about the heart. And if there's one thing that's emphasized in this psalm, it is the heart. The Lord wants a right heart that creates right action. And Jesus says, accept your righteousness. Exceed that of just even externalism. You will not see the kingdom of heaven. And throughout the New Testament, similar ethical sections are taught for those who seek to follow the Lord and be righteous. I'm reminded, for example, of Romans chapter 12, where Paul gives the rules for the Christian life. One is to love and not be hypocritical. One is to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So one who's a vile person is not lifted up, but one cleaves to the one who fears the Lord, who is good. One is to follow brotherly love. We see that emphasized in this psalm. Furthermore, one is to be zealous in one's spirit, serving the Lord. One is to basically meet the needs of others. Verse 13. And this would fit well with not with helping others without necessarily getting interest. And one is to pursue hospitality. One is to bless even those that curse us. Again, one is to speak with the tongue and not use this, maybe someone's negative speech toward us, as an occasion of reproach against them. One is to rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep. And so many of the principles that are taught here in the psalm, we find reiterated in New Testament ethics, especially from those that seek to be followers of Jesus Christ. Their lives are to be much like what is described here. We're to be kind to one another, Paul says, for example, in Ephesians chapter 2, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave us. And we're to be imitators of God. We're to love one another. And if we could summarize this whole text, it has to do with love. Paul in 29 of Ephesians 4 says, let all, literally, logos sopras, rotten word, that no rotten word come out of your mouth, but that which is good to the building up of the need of another, that it might give grace to those who hear. And furthermore, all bitterness, verse 31 of Ephesians 4, and anger and wrath and crying out and slander. Again, we're looking at slander, is to be taken from you with all evil. And so over and over and over, the rules for the Christian life are paralleling much of what is stated here about those who come into the presence of the Lord. When one comes to Christ, one's life is to be transformed, and one is to show that they have a relationship with the Lord, and they're able to dwell in His house because of that. For example, in Colossians chapter 3, we have the same kind of emphasis. We're not to lie with one another. Verse 9, because we put off the old man with its deeds, we put on the new man, which is renewed into the knowledge of the image of the one who created it. And furthermore, we're to put on, as the elect of God, verse 12 of Colossians 3, bowels of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, long-suffering, enduring one another, forgiving one another. And so many of the same themes are being reiterated. Above all things, put on love. And the peace of Christ is to umpire in our hearts. We're to be kind unto one another. Verse 15. And our speech is to be a speech in wisdom. Instead of slandering, we're to encourage one another and teaching one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So, as we look at the New Testament, we have a reiteration of many of these same principles that we see in this great psalm. Jesus Christ has come and died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day to not only give us eternal life, but to make us the kind of people He would have us to be in the lives that we are to live. And this psalm sets forth in a beautiful way the characteristic of one who is able to be God's guest. And we are the guests of Jesus Christ, the God-man, when our lives reflect the life that He wants us as believers in Him to live.